Today's devotion is titled, Nations Are in Uproar, Kingdoms Fall. This is a verse taken from Psalm 46, verse 6. During and at the height of the coronavirus pandemic, whenever the British Parliament met, there were very few members in the chamber. Everyone wore a mask. They were sticking to the then current government guidelines to inhibit the spread of the coronavirus that had been sweeping across the world. But then, on the 18th of August 2021, Parliament was called back early from their summer break for an emergency session. The chamber was packed with MPs, with some standing. Few were wearing masks. It was a long, grueling all-day session. There was a crisis fast emerging in Afghanistan, which needed addressing. Some 40 years back, Russia had sent its army into Afghanistan to try and push back the war in Taliban, without success. Then 20 years back, the American and British army sent in their troops again, seeking to push the Taliban back. Just recently, when Britain and the USA decided to pull out of the country, the Taliban surged back in again and retook the country. If we turn the clock back a few centuries, we see how one man, claiming to be a prophet, built up a strong following, out of which grew a strong radicalized extremist group, which brought fear and terror to the common folk. A number of the large nations sought to bring stability to Afghanistan, but pulled out in failure, as has happened recently. I want to use what is happening to the people of Afghanistan as a backdrop and as an illustration to help us to understand what is soon going to happen to this world, as prophesied in the Word of God, the Bible. Instability is increasing in our world. The situation will get worse, not better. We need to wake up to what is happening and prepare ourselves for what will happen worldwide and at any moment soon, very similar to what is happening in Afghanistan. In the Old Testament, we read how Israel was constantly being attacked by the warring nations living around them. Nothing has changed. There are still nations who openly want to annihilate the nation of Israel. Satan, a fallen angel, was the one who deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which down through the centuries, by one man's sin, has brought devastation to the world. In spite of the devastation that was and is still happening today, God had a plan. Man's sin has meant separation from God. But through the death of Jesus, who was willing to pay the price He had to pay to rescue us, had enabled us to be reconciled back to Him, if we believe and trust Him, as the Apostle reminds us in Romans 5, 12 and 19. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, for just as through the disobedience of one man, and many were made sinners, so also, through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The Apostle continues in Romans 10, 9, If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we open our hearts to the saving grace of Jesus, we can join with the Apostle Paul when he says in Ephesians 2, 1-5, As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. As a result of what Jesus did through the work of Calvary, the Christian church has been born, which today continues to reach out to this sin-stricken world, pleading with mankind to follow him. Since April of this year, the British government has been advising the citizens of Britain to get out of Afghanistan, knowing what possible dangers lay ahead if they did not leave. Once the army leaves, then when all the restraints of the USA and British forces have been taken out of the country, soon the Taliban will retake the country, bringing instability to the country and death to many. The purpose of briefly sending back in the troops again is to rescue and save lives. During the last 2,000 years, the church has been given a mission to rescue and save lives. If we do not heed God's call, many folk will experience spiritual death, separation from God, joining the many that will join Satan's allies in hell. The mission is to do what Jesus asked the church to do in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. To aid the church in its mission, we have the written word of God, the Bible, which prophetically warns the nations of what will shortly come to pass. We cannot fail to see what significant changes have happened in the last century and are happening around the world. There is an appalling decline in morals, which was prophesied by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Have nothing to do with such people. The Bible warns of pestilence. We are experiencing pestilence with the coronavirus pandemic, which continues to grip the world. Jesus gave us a clear warning of what's to come in Luke 21:10-12. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be great earthquakes, famine and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. The Christians living in Afghanistan are in grave danger. Anyone having a Bible on their smartphones will be killed, according to the magazine God Report. There has been a rapid increase in natural disasters around the globe. Extreme weather changes with multitudes of forest fires in Australia, around the shores of the Mediterranean and east coast of America. Following the fires, we see devastating floods swallowing up lives. In other parts of the world, we see major earthquakes increasing. We cannot fail to see within the natural world and the people of this world, things are literally hotting up. We are most certainly living in the last days, the end times, when God is about to intervene, bringing the whole of our world as we know it to the end. We have to ask the question, how will this happen? What next will take place? We see the way nations are rallying together with distinct divisions between those with evil intent and those seeking to bring justice. We see Russia, China, Turkey and Pakistan all aligning together in support of the Taliban. The build-up in the nations and the moral decline was foretold by Jesus in Matthew 24:3-36. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let no one in the housetops go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequalled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equalled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So, if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. And he will send his angel with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twig get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Fellow Christians, time is short. The church needs to wake up to the reality. The warning is not being taught in the churches, let alone to the world outside. The clock is ticking. Just like the nations who pulled out their own citizens and supporters out of Afghanistan, leaving the folk helpless and fearful at the mercy of Taliban, God is going to take out the church out of this world. There will not be any drawn-out rescue with many fighting for their life as they plead for rescue. There be no warning of God calling his elect. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 18, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The tyranny that is about to happen in Afghanistan is similar to what will happen to this world when the church is taken. But immediately after Jesus called the church home, what will happen on earth afterwards will bring far, far greater devastation and fear than what is about to happen in Afghanistan. Once God's people are taken out of this world, the righteousness and stabilizing influence of God's faithful people, the church, and the presence of God's Holy Spirit will leave a vacuum. Satan will have free reign and greater influence with the nations. He will have the freedom to cause untold devastation and death to the people of all nations left on earth. Jesus spoke of the gravity of what will happen. He warned his disciples in Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great distress, unequalled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equalled again. God himself, through many of the Old Testament prophets, tell us that before all this devastation will happen, that the nation of Israel, who has been scattered worldwide, will be encouraged to return to their favourite land. We read what God said in Jeremiah 32, 37 and 38. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. We also read in Ezekiel 20, verse 34, I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. Israel was reborn as a sovereign state on May the 14th, 1948. Beginning in the 1980s, a great migration of Jews had been taking place, as many thousands of Jews have been returning to the land of Israel. Soon after the church has been taken off the earth, with godly restraint removed, world leaders and opposing nations will be enticed to attack and make war on the land of Israel for one final time, as well as bringing the whole world under one government. We read of what will transpire in that day, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38, 10 to 16. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: on that day, thoughts will come into your minds and you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful, unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the centre of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and hauler villages will say to you, have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot, to carry off silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to seize much plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, in that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your places in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. God miraculously revealed to Daniel in a dream, as recorded in Daniel 9, that this period of extreme persecution and devastation would last 7 years. Then God again would intervene. The prophecy continues in Zechariah 14:1-9. A day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your walls. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as he fought on a day of battle. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, East Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day they will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of it to the east to the Dead Sea, and half of it west to the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. How God will deal with the evil on the earth is described in the vision God gave to the Apostle John in Revelation 19. Then in Revelations 20:1-5, John continues, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys of the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its images and had not received its mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death hath no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. After the return of Jesus to the Mount of Olives, and when Jesus' 1,000 years reign is over, Satan will be released for a short time, as revealed in Revelation 20:7. Then God will judge the nations. In the last chapter of Revelation 21, we read how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, where God's people will live with him for eternity. Will you be there? The world is mesmerized by all that is happening around them, oblivious to what God is about to do. Many of the churches are in hibernation. Few of God's people talk about the imminent return of Jesus. Few have the passion to warn the world of the impending things that will happen, not looking or preparing for Jesus to appear. Do you have the compassion and passion to rescue the lost? The barometer of the Christian soul can be measured by the level of passion we have to serve God, the desire to follow Jesus' footsteps, and the readiness and anticipation of his soon return. In closing, I hope you can join with me by quoting what the songwriter penned. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord who died for me. Oh, his words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee. Faith can almost hear Christ's footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Let's now listen to the hymn titled, O Lord Jesus, How Long?
See you.